Well, on the chart on the back, if you notice all the way to the left side, we go Old Testament, and we come to what is called as the first coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about two advents, two comings of Christ to the earth. And I'm saying that way so you can grasp it. Remember, to the earth. The first coming of Jesus Christ to the earth, the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, Jesus Christ was born. It's Christmas. It's what we're going to be celebrating very soon. Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born, lived on the earth for about 30 years, began his ministry, had a three and a half year ministry, died on the cross, paid for sin, and ascended into heaven. That's the first coming of Christ, the first coming of Christ to the earth. Make sure you have that. Then, if you notice, the next slide should show the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is on the further side of it. He comes to the earth, comes with his saints, and we call that the second coming of Christ. He comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's going to set up a kingdom. So that's his second coming to the earth. Now, first coming to the earth, born to die. Second coming to the earth, he comes to reign. There is another coming in between, and I think it's the next chart, which we call the rapture. It's actually in between his first coming when he came to die on the cross and his second coming when he comes as the king. This one is not a coming to the earth. This is why we call it different. It is a rapture in which he comes in the clouds and the church is taken off the face of the earth, the believers, to meet him in the air. So when you think about this, we're talking about the future ministry of Christ, because the past ministry of Christ, he came and died on the cross and paid for sins. He was our Redeemer. He's got a present ministry, but in the future ministry, there will be two comings, a coming in the clouds and a coming to the earth. Now, according to the chart, as you look at it, the very next event that would happen or can happen is the coming in the clouds, which we call the rapture. We're going to talk about it in just a second. But let me remind you of something, because somebody emailed me earlier this week. They weren't here. They were just listening to something off the TV, and so they called me and asked me about the question. But the idea of signs for the rapture. There are no signs whatsoever to be accomplished anywhere for Jesus Christ to come in the clouds and take the church out. There are people who will say things like, with all the signs, we know Jesus is coming soon. There aren't any signs for his coming in the clouds. So nothing has to be fulfilled. He could have come 1,000 years ago. I mean, nothing. Now, there are a number of signs that will have to be fulfilled for his second coming. And all the signs that people look at when they read the book of Revelation, of Matthew chapter 24 and 25, and the book of Zechariah, and the book of Daniel, and Revelation, when they see that, that's the signs for the second coming. So there are no signs for the rapture. So Jesus Christ could come at any second. Nothing has to be fulfilled for Jesus to come and get us. So that's the way it works. Now, that's the chart. Let's go a little further. We said that there are two aspects here. There's the coming. Put the slide up that has the two parts again. Go next one, I think. There it is. The two aspects, the future ministry of Christ coming in the clouds. What do we call that? The rapture. The coming to the. Yeah, go back to the slide. The coming to the earth. What do we call that? Second coming. So there's a coming in the clouds and a second coming. And we call it a second coming because he had a first coming to the earth. That was where he was born. Second coming is he comes as the king. So the thing that we're looking at this morning in this handout, number 5, is his coming in the clouds. So we can go to the next slide. And this is the rapture. So let's talk about it for just a second. And when we think about the word rapture, let's see. The word rapture is not in the scripture. People say the rapture, and then they say, where do you find the word rapture in the Bible? There's not one, just like you don't find the word Trinity in the Bible. The word rapture comes from a Latin word rapio, which means a snatching away, a pulling out, a quickly removing. So we know that we get that term from the fact that when Jesus Christ comes, he is going to snatch away or take away the church, the body of Christ. There's three things that I have them for you on this. Number one, the believers will be raised and changed. We looked at this last week. I just want to remind you of it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When Jesus Christ comes in the clouds, we're going to be changed. We're going to be raised and changed. 1 Thessalonians 4, let me read this to you just quickly because we looked at it last week. He said, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who have already died, that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. Now, we mentioned this last week. A person who is a Christian, when they die, where does their body go? In the ground. Where does their soul and spirit go? To be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you're a believer on this earth, you've not died. You're waiting for Christ to come. When he comes in the clouds, he's going to come, and the most amazing thing is going to happen. The souls and spirits of people who have already died and their bodies are in the grave are coming with Jesus. And when he comes, it says that the dead in Christ will rise first. Their bodies will be raised. Then, and they're going to come up out of the ground. Bodies will be raised and changed to meet the soul and spirit. We're going to be changed and taken off the face of the earth. That's what this passage says. Listen to it. He says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who've fallen asleep in Jesus. He's going to bring with him those who've already died. Talking about their soul and spirit. For we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. We're not going to go ahead of them. Watch. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. I think we have some more handouts. If you need one, you didn't get one, just raise your hand and he'll make sure you get them right there. Okay? It's the same one we had last week. Okay? And then notice what it says. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. What's he talking about? Okay, and what's rising? The bodies. Just remember that. Resurrection is always bodily resurrection. There are people who sometimes when they think about resurrection, they think some kind of spiritual thing. We're talking about a resurrection of the body. So the dead in Christ will rise first, then verse 17, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord there, so we'll always be with the Lord. The very first thing that's going to happen in the ministry of Christ when he comes in the future, when he comes in the clouds, is believers will be raised and changed. Believers whose bodies are in the grave, they will come up out of the grave and be changed. Believers who are alive on the earth, we all say, well, I hope that's us. I hope Jesus comes back before we die. That's what we want. Paul wanted that. Paul kept thinking, you know, he can come any second, and he could have. And throughout history, people have always said, you know, he could come any second, and he could. There's people who've gotten it confused over the history and say, well, you got to have all these signs and things. There aren't any signs. He could come any second. So the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We who are alive and remain to be caught up together with him. Thus we'll meet him in the air. That's the first aspect of the ministry. Notice I have, I think, do I have 1 Corinthians 15 verses 50 and 51. It says basically the same thing there. He says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you're going to be changed just like that. Sometimes people are confused, and they say this, because I had a person ask me this, I want to remind you. People sometimes say, yeah, but J.B., doesn't the Bible say that when Jesus comes, every eye will see him? Not in the rapture. That's the second coming. In the rapture, it'll happen so fast, the moment, a twinkle of an eye, we're going to be gone. There are going to be people on this earth who are not believers that you will disappear immediately, and they'll just go, what happened? Where did all these people go? That's going to happen. That's going to happen. Now, you know, we all say, really? Yeah, really. That's what it says. If you take the Bible historically, literally, grammatically, and you take the Bible in that sense, then there's going to come a day when Jesus Christ will come in the clouds, coming with the soul and the spirit of the believers who've already died. Their bodies will come up out of the ground and be changed. We will be changed in a moment of twinkling eye and taken off the face of the earth, and we'll meet him in the clouds. Yes? Okay, that's a great question. If the people who are left behind, will they know what has happened? There will be some people who have been in church but not believers. There'll be some people who've had relatives or friends that are Christians, and they've always told them, you know, one of these days Jesus is going to come get us, and then they disappear off the face of the earth. And there'll be some people who will say, I wonder if this is what they always talked about. But you got to remember that following the taking of the church off the face of the earth, there's going to be a man of sin come to power, which we call the Antichrist, and there's going to be that time on the earth called the tribulation. And some people will say, well, how is it going to be explained that all the Christians are taken off the face of the earth? It could be explained this way. If I'm the leader of this fallen world system, I would say that the true God has judged all those so-called believers and wiped them off the face of the earth because they were evil, and they are all dead and gone because they didn't follow the true God. That's what you could say. There will be a lot of people, once the peace pact is signed with the Antichrist, that there's going to be nation of Israel makes a peace pact with this man who comes to power, who claims to be a good man, who claims to be a great world leader. And there are going to be a lot of people just follow him and say, you know, he's right. There'll be people trying to explain what happened to all of those people who claim to be believers, who we'd say are Christians. There'll be some people who'll go to the Bible and they will say, wow, it's true. This is what it said. There'll be some people who, for the first time in their lives, there'll be people going to churches that let's hope that if somebody came here, there would not be anybody left here. that on a Sunday somebody came in here who's not a Christian, and they'd say, you know, there wasn't a soul left at Countryside at all because all of us were gone. But I'm going to tell you something that's going to be sad. There's going to be a lot of churches, nothing's going to change. Because there are a lot of people who go to church that have never heard the gospel, never trusted in Jesus Christ. They are into religious things. They think going to church or getting baptized or doing something helps them. And they're not believers. They've never put their faith in Christ. And when Jesus comes in the clouds, they're not a child of God. And they won't go. It's pretty sad. That's why we have a responsibility to tell people. So, the very first aspect, the dead will be changed, the dead will be raised. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, how is all this possible? Because Jesus Christ has died and conquered death. You realize, and I'll say it more in just a minute, but do you realize every human being is going to be raised from the dead? Every human being, believers or unbelievers. Not at this time. This time, just the church is taken off the face of the earth. Just the church. Not the Old Testament believers. Just the body of Christ is taken off the face of the earth, the church. But there's going to come a day that every human being at one time or another is going to be raised from the dead because Jesus Christ has conquered death. Some will be raised from the dead to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. That's because they had believed in Him. There will be others who will be raised from the dead to spend eternity separated from Jesus Christ because they didn't believe in Him. There's a second thing that ties in with this. If you got questions or something, just raise your hand and we'll stop and keep going. We're not in any hurry on the study, okay? Second, that He will give new bodies to the saints. Philippians, if you want to just flip to Philippians real quickly. Philippians chapter 3, the very end, He talks about this. He talks about our citizenship is in heaven. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ. What does an ambassador do? Represent somebody else. Now, you know, if you're an ambassador from the United States to France, where do you live? France. But where's your home? United States. If you are a Christian and you know Jesus Christ is Savior, where do you live? On this earth. Where is your home? In heaven. Look what he says in Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. We're not citizens of this earth. We're citizens of heaven. We belong to God. But we're living on this earth because we're ambassadors. We're representatives of Jesus Christ. He says, our citizenship is in heaven from which we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What's it called when He comes back to get us? The rapture. And watch what He says. He says, He will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. He's going to transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory. We're going to have the same kind of body that Jesus had when He rose from the grave. He was the first one to ever rise from the grave. He's the first one to have what people want to call a glorified body. It's going to happen one of these days when Jesus Christ comes. In the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise first and they'll be changed. We are alive and remain. We'll be caught up and we'll be changed. And we're going to get different bodies. We're going to have a body that will never decay. People always say, what's a glorified body going to be like? We have no answers to this. Let me tell you why when I say that. Number one, we know that we'll be able to recognize each other because the Bible says we'll know as we're known. And we saw that Peter, James, and John were able to recognize Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. So we're going to be able to recognize each other. But the real question that nobody can answer is this. What age are we going to be? What will we be like for all eternity? Because we're going to be changed and we're going to have a new body, a body like Christ, that will last for all eternity. And the reason I ask that is there are people who died when they were 8 years old. There were people who died when they were in their mother's womb. There were people who died when they were 95 years old. So when we are resurrected in a body, what will that body be like? Will it be, as some have said, 30 years old, a 30-year-old body person, because that's the age that Jesus was when He began His ministry, and that will be the age that all people will be? Or what will it be like? Or maybe you'll pick your age. I think I'll be 18 again. I'll be 27. I'll be whatever I want to be. Who knows? But one thing for sure, you're going to have a body that will never decay, never wear out. That's why you can spend all eternity with Jesus Christ. See, it's not some spiritual thing just floating around. You're going to have a body that you will spend eternity with Christ. So in the rapture, the second thing is He's going to give new bodies to the saints. Questions, comments before we go to the third thing? Anything? Yes?
If we're going to be in these bodies in our eternal state, There's no time factor on eternally, so age wouldn't even be a factor.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about that we're going to age. I'm saying, what will we look like? Will we look like we were when we were 60? Will we look like we were when we were 8 or 25? Or the perfect age, 56. But whatever it is, you know, it's whatever age you want. You know, it used to be 36. But anyway, it changes. Okay, did I see another? Yes. Okay, and then we'll get rid.
When the rapture, the people who died before Christ was born and were not part of the whole Bible, will they be staying in the ground?
Okay, so you're saying, what about the Old Testament saints before the church age began? They were believers and they died. That's the question. Okay, either before or after. Okay, believers, when Jesus Christ comes for the church, no unbeliever will be raised at that time. No unbeliever will be raised until after the kingdom. Can we put the chart up? Is it possible to put the chart up? Okay, and can we go over to the second coming part? Second coming? Here we go. If you notice, after he comes, he's going to set up a kingdom and he'll rule for 1,000 years. It says that in the book of Revelation 6 or 7 times. After that, he will then raise unbelievers. They'll be raised from the dead and stand before the great white throne judgment. So unbelievers from all eternity, all history, we might say, whether it's before Christ came or after Christ came, those who did not believe in him, they will be raised to stand before the great white throne judgment at that time period. Old Testament saints are not raised, and these are believers. Their bodies are in the grave. When Christ comes in the clouds to get the church, he does not raise the Old Testament saints. He only raises the church age. The Old Testament saints are raised at the second coming of Jesus Christ as he comes and sets up the millennium. That's found in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So just sometimes people get confused on that. So when Jesus comes in the clouds, in the rapture part, the for us, it's only the church age that will be taken off the face of the earth. Okay, Rick.
Okay, so the church goes up in glorified bodies.
Right.
Rapture. So we're up in heaven with the Old Testament saints. Are still the spirits then?
Best we can tell.
Okay,
yeah. So that's his question is, if the Old Testament saints have the spirit, whatever spirit being they have, because the Bible never tells us the form that we have, when it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, it does not say ever in any place you can find what type of form that is. We know it's a soul and spirit, but what type of form is it? It never gives us any information. So we will have bodies, and they will have whatever form they have until he raises their body at the second coming. So,
does that mean that the believers in the church today that have passed will wait until those?
No. Somebody who is a church person, the person who's lived and died in the church age as a believer, they will be raised. That's the ones of the dead in Christ. Okay, I saw another hand. Where was it? Right there, yes.
Rapture and equating it with signs?
Okay, good question. Why do people miss this and think that they're coming in the clouds and the rapture and the second coming are the same thing? And why do they miss all that and they come up with all the signs? Well, can you put the whole chart back up for just a second? I know you can't read it. It's so big here. But there are a lot of people who do not hold. Let me just say it this way. We study the Bible and we interpret the scripture from what we call a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation. That means we take the Bible in its historical context, we take the words, what they mean literally, and we take them grammatically, how they fit in the sentences. When you take the Bible from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation, that means a promise to David or a promise to Abraham is going to be fulfilled. A promise in the Old Testament was that the son of David would sit on the throne of Israel. The promise is in the Old Testament that David's going to have a son, which ultimately is Jesus Christ, and that one day he would sit on the throne of Jerusalem and rule as king. When you read the book of Revelation, it says 7 times in 3 verses that he comes back and he reigns for 1,000 years. So when you take the Bible from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation, you have Jesus coming back and setting up a kingdom and ruling and reigning. You also have passages that talk about a tribulation, an antichrist, the man of sin, and coming all that. Now, with that in mind, there are many people from pastors and so-called theologians and whatever, they do not take the Bible from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation. They take it in a different way. And so they do not look at those as literal passages, so they do not believe that the greater Son of David, Jesus Christ, will actually sit on the throne in Jerusalem. And they do not believe that there ever will be an Antichrist or a tribulation. So when they look at the Bible, how they look at it is, after they see Jesus dying on the cross, they don't have, when they see church age, they don't even call it church age. They just call it the age, and they don't have tribulation, kingdom, anything. They just say the very next event, Jesus comes back and judges the world. They don't have any, because they don't take any of those literally or true. And so that's why some people, the only coming they see is him coming back. And since they combine them, they say, well, this coming in the clouds must be the same as coming to the earth. So they make them the same. So what bottom line is, some people don't take the Bible historically, literally, grammatically, so they're not going to interpret the Bible this way. And therefore, they wouldn't have a rapture, or they wouldn't even have a second coming the way we call it. They would say he comes and he judges the world. In fact, there are many people who hold to that, believe that the great white throne judgment is the judgment for all people, and everybody, believers and unbelievers, are going to be raised from the dead then and stand before God and be judged to decide whether they go to hell or go to heaven. So that's why people take it differently. What gap? This little gap right there between church age. A reason I put that in there is because we don't know. All we know is this, that after we're gone, sometime after we're gone, there will be a peace pact made with the nation of Israel with the Antichrist. Now, they won't call him Antichrist. He'll just be a world leader. And then that 7 years starts. But we don't know when that's going to be. We don't know whether that's going to happen immediately after the church has gone out or 50 years afterwards. We don't know. All we know is after the church is gone, there will be some time period before the peace pact is signed. And once the peace pact is signed, that starts the 7 years of tribulation. Yeah. Yes.
Have any of the signs, I mean, are people seeing signs of the second coming already? And are they taking those as signs that the rapture are coming because it has to come before the second coming?
It does make sense. And there are, the people will see things like wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes. And they see that there are wars on the earth and there are earthquakes on the earth. And so they assume that those are signs for the second coming. They're actually not, because those are things that happen at judgment during the last three and a half years of the tribulation. So when we have earthquakes now, that doesn't mean it's about time for the second coming. The closest thing that could even tell us that it could be closer than it's ever been before is that there is a promise that's going to have to happen for the tribulation to start, and that is the nation of Israel must do what? Sign a peace treaty with the Antichrist. Well, from 70 AD to 1948, there was no Israel. So in 1948, for the first time in almost 2,000 years, there became a nation on the earth known as the Nation of Israel, and they actually got some land back. So for sure, now God could take them out of his land again and 1,000 years go before we ever have the rapture. So that's not a sign for the rapture, but it does tell us that once we're taken out, there has to be an Israel to make a peace pact with the Nation of Israel. So that's something that you could just think about. Yes. Ooh, we got good. Okay, I'll get Ben in just a second. Yeah.
On the people say, well, the earthquakes and the tsunamis, all these storms, these are signs that the bad things are going to happen. Doesn't the Bible say that bad things are going to happen unlike we have ever seen?
It will be during the tribulation.
But people say, well, see, we're living in tribulations because all these bad things are happening.
Well, the bad things are going to happen during the tribulation are going to be so much different than what this is. Yeah. Ben.
The Old Testament saints that are raised at the second coming, will they not get a glorified body?
They deal right then. That's when they did. In fact, Daniel 12, 1 and 2 says, then they'll be raised up out of the dust and they'll have bodies that will go on. So that's when they get their glorified bodies. Okay, I saw one more hand. Yeah, JJ.
How many trumpets are there? That says the last trumpet. How does that translate?
Well, you mean, so is your question is the rapture the last trumpet?
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is, how many trumpets before the rapture, and then does everybody hear the trumpet? I mean...
Well, let's say this, that we don't know a whole lot about the trumpets. We just know they're going to blow. And when he says, the trumpet of God, whether that's more than one blast, and whether 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians are talking about the same trumpet at the same time, or whether 1 Thessalonians is talking with a series of trumpets and 1 Corinthians is just saying at the last one this is going to happen, or whether he is using a metaphor type saying at the last trumpet, meaning at the last time I'm blowing the trumpets, here's this going to happen. So we're not sure. It's just hard to know. Yes. I think that all believers in the church age will hear the trumpets and be gone. Yes. Yeah. Relate. Okay. All right. The question is, what about cremation? Because you hear people say you shouldn't cremate a body or anything because, God's going to raise it up. Let me say this. The Bible speaks nothing of whether cremation or regular burial or anything like that at all. In fact, think about throughout history, since God is going to raise the body, and let me tell you, he's so good. If you burn it up or it gets burned up, he's going to bring it back together. I'm going to tell you that. Think about people who are in the war, people who are blown to bits, things like he's going to take bodies. And so I don't think that's an issue. I see people get really upset or worried or mad or thinking, should a person cremate a body and all those things? I don't think the Bible speaks on that issue, especially when the issue of whether he's going to be able to raise that body. He can do anything, and he can take your body, whatever state, if it's been in the ground for hundreds of years, it's dust anyway, right? It's gone. So he's going to be able to bring it back. So I don't think that's an issue. Any other questions? Yes. That was the second bell already? Well, what do you know about that? Well, anyway, let's... Look at number three, just for a second. Number three, this is what we're going to see next week. Believers will be rewarded. Now, if you want to, look at the chart. If you didn't get one of these, Rick made some more. We got some more up here that's not a good quality, but I think, some of the things are not a good quality, but just at least the chart and everything else, you can read it. If you want to come get one, if you didn't get one, look over it. And next week, if you've got some more questions on the end time things, because when we get to lesson 6, which is the coming to the earth, I'm going to have the same chart on that too. So we'll go into even more details. Next week, I think is powerful because we're going to talk about rewards. What happens when you stand before Jesus Christ, when he comes and gets you and the dead in Christ rise first, we who are alive and get caught up? What happens then? What happens when we stand before him? Rewards. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank you for all the great questions. And Lord, as we try to put together the end time events, thank you, Lord, that you came the first time to die on the cross to pay for sin. You're going to come a second time to the earth to rule and reign in righteousness. And Lord, we know that you're going to come in the clouds before that and to take the church, the body of Christ, off the face of the earth, and we'll be changed in a moment of twinkling eye. We'll be given new bodies, and Lord, even we'll be rewarded. So thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you that you have a perfect plan dealing with believers from all time, whether the Old Testament saints or the church or the tribulation believers or whatever. Thank you, Lord, that you work all things according to the counsel of your will and your perfect plan. Help us to be able to put it together and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks.